You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. with Gareth Topham, Sean Quinn and Andrew Mount in the studio. We have two national hunt meetings, Fontwell and Uttoxeter, playing host to the action over the obstacles. And we also have all weather racing on the poly track at Southwell. So three meetings to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Very well, thank you, Mark. Much looking forward to a week full of naps. Of course, you're top of the naps table, so yes. Speaking to a real expert.
I don't know about that, John. I think I've got lucky. I'm not sure how much longer it'll carry on.
I'm sure it'll carry on for a long time, Mark. It's not luck, it's skill.
I'll take your word for it, John. We're going to have a look at the Monday jury, as we usually do, and then we're going to get stuck into Tuesday's racing. So we'll ask the questions posed in the Racing Post. John will give us his thoughts. Obviously, it looks back at quite a good weekend of racing, John. And the first question, what pointers are you taking from a stunning Tingle Creek?
Interesting adjective, stunning. It was thrilling. That is perfectly true as a race. I didn't think as a renewal it was that tremendous. I've got great admiration for the winner, Earn de Sceaux, always have done. He was such a superb sort of fast jumper a couple of seasons ago, just lost his way very slightly last year, but has now developed a toughness in his attitude, which I thought was impressive in the Tingle Creek. He was headed by the second at one moment, or appeared to be, and then fought back really tenaciously, and that was an excellent performance by the winner, Earn de Sceaux. My worry about the form, Mark, is the fact that Sire de Grouchy was so close in second. Now, he's a marvellous horse and has been a tremendous servant to connections, owners and trainer and so on. But he is getting a little bit long in the fang. And the fact that he very nearly won indicates to me that perhaps the form has to be taken with a slight pinch of salt. I thought Ahmad ran pretty well after one serious mistake, finishing strongly. There was talk about possibly going for the King George. I hope he doesn't. you know, 2.5 miles I thought would be ideal, and there are plenty of opportunities for Ahmad over that trip. Yeah. But a really thrilling contest.
Yeah, it was, and under Sir, giving Willie Mullins his first winner in the UK this season. First red and first winner, wasn't it?
So. Yes, and just as a sort of little PS to the thing, I thought that Ruby was really pretty sharp in a post-race interview, suggesting that the press had sort of written off Willie Mullins. Now, you know, he may have got a point, but I didn't think the press had been, in fact, all that harsh on Willie Mullins. It's just the fact that he was obviously faced with a bit of a difficult problem over the winter, having lost so many horses.
Yeah, and by his own very high standards, it has been a bit of a slow start to the season for him, hasn't it? But seems to be winding into top gear now.
Absolutely so, right, yes.
Yeah. Is Altior impregnable, as his odds suggest, for the Racing Post article?
He's very short.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't think of backing him at the current odds for the Arkle. But Noel Feely was actually on the Monday jury this week. And he, of course, rode Altior at Sandown. And I thought he made a very, very interesting point. He said, you didn't really understand what a good horse Altior was until you pressed the button. And when you asked Altior to quicken, then the answer was amazing. And he was very much of the opinion that this horse is a real star. And I agree. What impresses me about Nicky Henderson's top-rate chaser now is the fact that he settles very well. At one stage, he was just sort of lobbing along in third place in the race, the Henry VII Novices Chase. So, you know, a couple of lengths behind the leaders, not really looking as though he was all that interested. But once... Noel asked him to go. He did so. He jumped much better in the closing stages of the race. Bit sticky, I thought, early on, but the jumping improved and he showed his class on the run-in.
He's 6-4 favourite for the Arkle at the moment, is Altiot. Ahead of Min, who's 9-2, 5-1 for York Hill, Identity Thief, 7-1, 14-1 Bouverdere, and 16-1 Bar. Those. Next question, John. How is the Grand National weather vane looking for many clouds?
Well, pretty good. I thought Many Clouds was absolutely excellent at Aintree. He jumped really well. He galloped on like a strong horse who looked to have summered particularly well. He's had a small operation on the breathing, I think, and that has obviously helped. But he dominated the race in the manner in which, if you were a big supporter, you'll be very pleased with. My only slight worry and slight reservation is that he's bound again to have a very heavy weight for the National, and also that he is a horse in the past who has shown all his very best form early on. So I don't think you ought to read too much into the race at Aintree on Saturday, except to the fact that obviously he was in very good health and did the job really well. The horse I like out of that race is the one who finished third, who was runner-up in the Grand National last time, and that is The Last Samurai, who I think is supremely tough, and he will go on any ground, and I thought he ran really well. The despondent factor about that race was, of course, the fact that Jimmy Moffitt's horse did not win. I mean, I really wanted Highland Lodge to score, both for Henry Brooke and Jimmy Moffitt, and when he jumped the last, I thought he was going to come true, and he just got done by a power-packed finish produced by Tom Scudamore on the favourite Le Lion Rouge, which was fair enough, but it was the slightly upsetting because he'd run so well, Highland Lodge.
Yeah, it was remarkable effort from Henry Brooke as well. Big day for Henry. Obviously, he was so badly injured. Put in induced coma, wasn't he?
Amazing
6 months
effort,
ago.
Mark. Yeah. You know, I mean, they say 8 broken ribs, a collapsed lung. I mean, and, by all accounts, he looked absolutely dreadful. Then he was taken into the ambulance to be carried off to Newcastle. So, tremendous effort. Mm. And I would love to him to have won.
Yeah. What did we learn from the Fairy House's Grade 1 card on Sunday, John?
Well, a number of things. I think we learned certainly that Apple's Jade has got the most tremendous determination and tenacity. I thought she was going to be not well beaten, but I thought she was going to be beaten when Vroom Vroom Mag came to challenge at the last flight. Question mark is whether Ruby was a bit overconfident on the horse. Some people in the studio or on emails to the studio suggested that was the case. I think it was more a case of him realising that Brum Brum Mag was just a fraction short of very best, that he didn't want to give too hard a race, and that he thought he'd got the leader covered. And it looked like that as Brum Brum Mag came to jump the last flight. He didn't actually jump the last flight with excellent fluency, which probably made the difference between victory and defeat, but I don't think even Ruby could have expected Apple's Jade to have hit back in the way that she did. It was a tremendous form of performance and a fine bit of training by Gordon Elliott, particularly after quite a hard race in the Fighting Fifth.
Yeah.
The other thing that I liked about Fairy House was, in fact, the winner of the bumper. I think it's called Get the Bird, who cost €200,000 when bought by the Ritchie family, and was all the rage for the bumper, and did, in fact, win it in really impressive style. And so much so that I would have thought that this was a horse who needed to watch very, very carefully. Remember, Forheen had actually run in a point-to-point before going on to much greater things. And I think this new purchase for the Mullins Yard is definitely a horse who's going places.
Mm. Yeah, Get a Bird won by 12 lengths on Sunday in the closing bumper. And he's 7-1... favourite now for the champion bumper on the back of that. So,
well, I think he must have a great chance if that's where they're going to go. He looked a really lovely horse. Clearly, his point-to-point background was, impressive, encouraging a large amount of wallet money to be taken to buy. And I would have thought that Get the Bird was going to be a horse that people will be talking about for a long while.
Mm. What else has caught your eye over the last 7 days, John?
Well, a number of horses, mainly with the ones I've watched. One of the things that I cannot believe can go on for much longer is the amazing success of Malcolm Jefferson and Brian Hughes. Every horse they run, Brian Hughes rides for Malcolm Jefferson, basically has won over the past month or so. Phenomenal form. And I thought Mount Muse, who was started at a very short price to win over hurdles at Kelso on Sunday, was definitely a horse to watch for in the future. And the other horse that I loved winning at Kelso was the horse that won the Borders National, Harry the Viking. Mm. This was, a great win by Jimmy Beaumont, who's 80, and Douglas Pride. They're very lucky owners, Roars Encore and Neptune Equestre. Sadly, Neptune Equestre, having won that Borders National twice in a row, did in fact die on the racecourse at Kelso in the spring. But very lucky owner, Jimmy Beaumont, and I thought that the horse ran particularly well for Rachel McDonald and was a very popular winner.
Okay, final question then, John. Who do you fancy at Cheltenham's two-day international meeting?
Aso. In a very short answer to that, I thought Aso is a horse that needed to be watched right at the beginning of the season. I liked his attitude over hurdles. Now he's over the bigger fences. I thought he was a bit unlucky, not to finish much closer than he did in the big handicap chase at the Open meeting. And I would have thought that the Caviar Challenge Gold Cup is very much down to Aso to run well in. I'll be surprised if he doesn't go close, and Noel Feely thinks Thomas Brown's going to go well, but Aso for me.
Aso then for Lord Budden to look out for at Cheltenham's international meeting, which comes up this weekend, of course. Right now, though, we're going to look at things a little bit closer to hand. We've got some racing to look at on Tuesday, and Lord Budden has prepared four races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, the 150 at Southwell is where we start on Tuesday. This is a 7 furlong class 4 handicap. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 14 of them set to go to post here. John, who do you think comes home in front?
We'll follow the theory that the bigger the field, the bigger the certainty. 14 runners, but only two of them really appeal for me in this contest, Mark. One of them is Robert Cowell's recent Wolverhampton winner, and Capo Lavara, who won well at Dunstall Park, and if converting to the surface here at Southall in the same way is going to be hard to beat. But I'm going to go for Boots and Spurs in this contest. I like the way he's been running recently. He was beaten last time, but he wasn't beaten far behind Young John at Newcastle, finishing a close-up fourth in a crowded finish. And Boots and Spurs had been a little bit unlucky not to score at Catterick before that, when a close second. I think he'd be suited by Southwell. He looks to be in form, and I think he'd be a slightly more attractive price than Capo Lavara.
Boots and Spurs then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 150 at Southwell. The 2 o'clock at Uttoxeter is where we go next, a class 4 handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles, and we've got a field of 15 set to go to post for this one. Where do you want to start in there, John?
Well, we might start with Jaunty 4, I think, in this contest, who is Oliver Greenall. And this young man has made quite a good start to his training career. And Jaunty 4 is not a multiple winner, but has got wins under his belt already and has to have a definite chance of adding to that here at Uttoxeter. I like Flurry Boy at the top of the weights, but the question is it too much much weight. This horse ran well when scoring at Aintree, and clearly has got a definite chance of following up. But the horse I like in this race is, in fact, Mango Cap. And now you might say, don't be so silly, Button. This is well beaten in a modest contest at Force last time out. It did, in fact, finish sixth in that contest, but it was very heavy ground, and I prefer to judge him much better on previous form on better ground when third at Ayr and also running well at Perth during the summer. So I thought that Mango Cap had got a very fair shot in this particular race, which also includes an old favourite of mine called Milord, who I think is getting a little bit long in the tooth and probably will have to be content with a place. I think it's between Jaunty Four and Mango Cap, and I go for Mango Cap.
Mango Cap, then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 2 o'clock. The 2:10 at Fontwell is up next. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over the extended 3 miles and one furlong. We've got a field of six here, including a previous winner of the race, John, in the shape of Pete the Feet.
Yeah, I think Pete the Feet's got a really good chance in this contest, Mark. He's only run once this season, and that was in the Southern National. Did, in fact, run prominently in that contest for a long way, and then I think showed that he basically needed the race and weakened out of the places in the last sort of three or four fences. But he's a dour stayer, Pete the Feet. He's shown he acts at Fontwell, and I think he's got a very, very decent chance. St Dominic is a horse that might go relatively well, but fell in a much better contest at Ascot last time out. And that leaves us with a real old number called Leg Iron, who seems to have been about for almost as long as myself. And he does actually stay on. This is the sort of race that Leg Iron may well come through and get his legs in front, Iron or not, in the closing stages. But Pete the Feet has a little bit more class, and I hope he'll win.
Pete the Feet, then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 2:10 at Fontwell Park. And the final race we look at is the 3 o'clock at Uttoxeter. This is a Novices Limited Handicap Chase. It's over 2.5 miles, or almost 2 miles, 5 furlongs really. It's the extended 2.5 miles, 9 of them in the lineup here. John, who do you like in the last race we look at?
Well, I'm always a great supporter of the Skelton family, and, you know, they have done amazingly well throughout the last two seasons. And Dan and Harry have got a definite winning chance here on Return Flight, who was beaten narrowly last time out, finished a good second, and looks still to be on a pretty decent weight. And I would have thought he got a favourite's chance of winning this race. The question mark is Bertie Lugg down the bottom of the weights. Now, this horse hasn't run since the early part of the summer, but is a Uttoxeter winner, and he's going to get weight from Return Flight, and, you know, just possibly might make a decisive advantage. But the Skeltons are in such good form, and they haven't got all that many runners at Uttoxeter, so I'm going to go with Return Flight.
Return Flight, then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 3 o'clock at Uttoxeter. Thank you very much, John. Do you want to just have a quick recap, then, if you'll just confirm your selections for us, then, for Tuesday?
Yeah, well, we start off with the 150 at Southall, and on that race we're with Boots and Spurs to score. On to the 2 o'clock at Uttoxeter, and we thought the Jaunty Four might go pretty well here, but the Mango Cap is the actual selection. In the 2:10 at Fontwell long distance chase, Pete the Feet will be the choice there. And finally, in the 3 o'clock at Uttoxeter, the Skeltons' Return Flight.
Superb. Thank you very much, John. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. Gareth Topham, Sean Quinn and Andrew Mount will be the team in the studio. It's Fontwell, Uttoxeter and Southwell. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.